still on the fence about Catalyst Connect? We'll make the entire weekend unforgettable, starting with two front row tickets to the Grand Ole Opry. All registrations April 8th through 21st will be entered into a drawing for tickets during Catalyst Connect weekend. Click the flame icon in Pioneer RX for registration and full details. See you in Nashville.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Catalyst Pharmacy Podcast. Today, we've got Sam and Shane from Storby. Storby is partnering with us on Red Sail websites, and so we really have them on. They talk through a little bit their origin story and how they started with pharmacies in New Zealand and Australia, but also kind of what they're doing for pharmacies to expand into e-commerce, just website management in general and things like that. So we also have Holly Schutz, who joins us. She's the director of product in the ancillary add-on space for Red Sail. She kind of talks through a little bit what the product's going to look like from an integration perspective and how they're going to bring that to the market, timing a little bit too on it. So we'll throw you there now. Thanks. All right. We have Shane Bartle and Sam Howarth with Storby, which is it's probably not somebody everybody knows yet.
Not yet.
And that other voice you just heard is also new to some folks. That is Holly Schutz. She is our... What is your new title? You're in product now.
Yeah. They titled me as Director of Product Management.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the title. Okay. but I work directly with Storby as one of our vendors, but I'm also working on other projects like RX Local, messaging, and our mobile apps as well.
That's right. So a lot of the ancillary stuff baked into the system or attached to the system in some way. That's what Holly does. And both Shane and Sam are from Storby. Website, e-commerce partner bringing into the kind of Red Sail ecosystem. Wanted to say, introduce you both. Shane is the CEO. Sam is the CRO. Sam, I'm going to give you honors first. If you want to say hi and kind of a little bit about like who you are, how you came up, and then we'll throw it to Shane as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hi, everyone. I am, Samantha Howarth, Chief Revenue Officer at Storby. So live and breathe all things sales and marketing. And I've been at Storby for about 8 years now. So back in 2016, got connected in. I guess a little bit about sort of not work-related things is I am a mom to three girls, including twin 9-month-old, so the last year has been a bit of a wild ride, and then outside of work and parenting, absolutely love getting up in the trails. We have a regional park about a mile from my property, and I love to get out there for a run. So that's when I can carve out the time away from the kids to do that. That's what I love to do. But yeah, so back 2016, I think a good friend of Shane's connected up with him, and I think Shane was looking for some support on the sales side of Storby back then, and I kind of recruited the assistance of who was my manager at the time, and I think he said to Shane, hey, I've worked with this girl who will be interested to kind of know the Storby story and learn a bit about what you guys are up to. So is it right if I bring her along to this meeting? So we went along to a meeting, and it was really a bit of a brainstorm about sales and generally how we might structure things and that sort of thing. So I didn't say much in that meeting, just kind of sat listening. There had been, I think for me, like I've always been very entrepreneurial at heart and have loved like the idea of startups and being involved in that. So kind of sat listening in on this meeting and then went home with my brain fizzing at a million miles an hour, and put all these ideas together into a slide deck. And I sent it across to Shane, and I was just like, take what you will from this. These are just my ideas based off of our meeting.
And I was come and work
here. Yeah, he's like, you're hired.
These are just my genius ideas.
I'll take all of them.
No big deal.
I was like, when do you start?
It was, I think I did some contracting for Storby for a little while I was working my prior role, and then, bit the bullet and jumped in and haven't looked back since then. So, cool. That was, 2016 that I got connected in. pre our pharmacy specialization as well, which we'll dive into a little bit more detail about soon.
Okay. Sam, real quick, let me say this. For two twin 9-month babies, you look well rested. So
coffee is life. Let me just say that.
coming from someone who's had two myself, not that many at once though, from a sleep schedule perspective, but cool. Shane, let's throw to you, man.
Well, I've got four children.
All right.
So three of them are over 20.
Okay.
And then I've got one nine-year-old. So I loved it so much I did it again. And now I've just got a puppy.
I was going to say you have the puppy too. That counts.
I wanted a third. My wife was like, go get a puppy. And so that's what I did. She's my third.
The three, how old's the puppy now?
She's eight. Eight, probably.
Oh, eight. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's eight.
Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't have a dog when I was young, so I didn't really know what having a puppy was going to be like. She's pretty adorable, which is good because it's a little bit like having a child, but everything moves just a little bit faster.
Yeah, you're so right. I think whoever God, I think the saying is like God makes them cute when they're little, so you don't kill them, and then when they get older, same way with teenagers and humans. When they get older, they make them a little more annoying so that you're like, yeah, get out, right? Like,
Get out.
I'm over you.
Don't make life too comfortable for them. That's really important. Right. Yeah, totally. And three of them have left. But then I've got the first three that I had three under five at one point. They were three boys, and I used to say they used to turn everything under a meter into dust. You had to like lift things up over a meter, otherwise they'd be completely destroyed. We had these amazing speakers, and one day they just weren't working. Like they just, you were listening. I was like, what
happened?
What's wrong with the speaker? And one of them had pulled the speaker, the thing off the front, and picked away around the speaker thing, and then put the thing back on the front of it again. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So well, that's
of course.
That's what you do. They shouldn't make them so fragile. That's the thing about those. Exactly. You know, I blame the manufacturer a little bit for that.
Totally, absolutely. I know, I agree.
Well, let's get into Storby and all that.
Storby, yes. So Storby, I've been around a while. So about 2007, and I was working at Microsoft at the time. I worked there for about 10 years. Okay. I had a friend who developed a pretty quirky board game, and he wanted to sell all this board game on the web. So I was his geek friend. It's always good to have one friend as a geek. Top tip.
I have one. He's not on the podcast today, though. Referring to Josh.
And a plumber as well. It's always good to have a plumber friend as well. You know,
this is life advice here.
Have you got a
plumber friend?
Anyway, I was a geek friend, so he came and chatted to me and said, could you create a website so I can sell this game on the web? So I went ahead and did that. And it was through doing that I had the idea I started feeling sorry for people that didn't have geeks as friends. And could I create a platform that meant that anybody could go and create a website, set up an e-commerce website, sell stuff, whether they were technical or not. And then sort of a classic startup story. As I said, I had those three children, three boys. So there was really only 2 hours of quiet time that I could think of in the entire day where I wasn't exhausted. And that was between 5 and 7 a.m. in the morning. So while I was working at Microsoft, I'd get up at 5 and I'd build this platform between 5 and 7 in the morning for a while.
Oh, wow.
And then I left Microsoft about 2010, and it was going in order to focus on it full time. It was going really, really well. We had lots of businesses of all shapes and sizes that would as well as a lot of individuals as well who wanted to build websites and sell stuff. It was a pretty exciting time, and it really started to give us a real passion for working with small businesses and small business owners, even though we did have some quite large businesses on Storby. But it was about 2016, I think 2017, that we had a conversation with the Pharmacy Guild of New Zealand. So we're based in New Zealand.
Right.
That's where our headquarters are, in Wellington, in New Zealand, and just down the road from our headquarters is the Pharmacy Guild. And we had a chat with them, and they said we're having independent pharmacies contact us all the time, saying, "What do we do about a website? Why don't we work together to come up with a specialist package for community and independent pharmacies. So okay. I was like, okay, right, let's do that. And that just absolutely took off. So, we really enjoyed working with working in that industry with independents specifically. We just found there was a lot of quite specific challenges for us to solve. And it was around that time that that Sam came on board. Why don't you take it from there, Sam, and start talking about that? What happened then?
Yeah, so I think for us, like, really the business needed to start specializing in a niche to continue that growth, or a niche, I should say. And that conversation with the Pharmacy Guild kind of prompted us to start to engage with community pharmacies and start to understand, you know, why is it so hard as a community pharmacy to get yourself set up online? And very quickly, we became aware of a lot of the obstacles. So first and foremost, a community pharmacy is clinician-led. Mm-hmm. You train as a pharmacist, work as a pharmacist for a while, and then some make the decision to move into business ownership. So all of a sudden, you're not just wearing your pharmacist hat, but there's all these other business right. hats that you need to wear, including how you market your business, how you attract customers, how you maintain your relationships with your customers. So it was kind of that challenge of they didn't know what they didn't know, and knowing, you know, what questions do we ask a potential web developer about getting our pharmacy online and that sort of thing. So there was definitely that piece there. We also started to understand that when they would go out and try and get themselves set up online, some platforms or potential partners to do that with would shy away because community pharmacy is perceived as high risk in this space. And particularly if they're wanting to move into e-commerce and selling products online, even the payment providers are like, oh, pharmacy, right, there's some more hoops to jump through. So it was never straightforward. Community pharmacies run a really complex business compared to a standard retailer as well, right? Like they've got a complex supply chain. There's lots of vendors, whether it's manufacturers or suppliers, for all of the products that they provide to their community. And so trying to bring all of that together with all of the other information about what a pharmacy offers onto a website was challenging and really inaccessible for a busy independent community pharmacy owner. So, you know, all of these things combined, very quickly we were like, okay, right, there's some real problems to solve here. And that's where we sort of set about going, okay, how do we engage the industry, so the vendors that pharmacies work with, the suppliers, other industry bodies like the Pharmacy Guild, and bring a solution together that makes it possible for a pharmacy to get online with something that's really comprehensive and just helps them overcome a lot of those obstacles.
And really, there were three things that we found that we focused on, these three areas that we were really adding value. And one was anywhere we can save time.
Okay.
As Sam said, the pharmacist, super busy, complex. So any automation that we can do, anything that we can do automatically, because websites need to remain, you don't want them to be static. You don't just want them to sit there, not reflecting the current state of play. And the last thing we want is these websites to become a kind of, I've got to go and try and update the website all the time. Now, so we know that there are some things that need to be updated, but we wanted to automate as much of the things as we could that could be, could be automated. Also, we wanted to find ways for the website to save you time in other ways. Are there ways for that we can have forms that customers can fill in so that information can automatically be there for you? And then how can we get that so that it automatically ends up in the systems that you use without you having to rekey it? So things like that. So we focused a lot on that. And then talking about the system you use, like Pioneer RX. Now, Pioneer RX is the system that you're most comfortable in, you work in every day, and so that was the second thing, was we wanted to work on ways that you continue to work within Pioneer RX rather than having to go into another system all the time, like the back end of a website system. So, for example, if you wanted products on your website,
right.
You choose the products that you want on the website from within Pioneer Rx. Mm-hmm. If someone submits if a customer submits some kind of inquiry, rather than having to log in or go into the website, can we see that inquiry in incoming docs, for example? So that's another area where we became really focused, is letting you still work within the systems that you're used to and finding ways that when things happen on the website, that they fit into your normal workflows that you do every day. And then the third thing is, so Sam talked about, you know, what a complex supply chain pharmacists have, and many, many different sort of organizations that you work with as suppliers. And we often find that community and independent pharmacy websites reflect that back to the customer. They reflect that complexity back to the customer. So we've seen many pharmacy websites where when you go to the website, you click on some link and you fly off somewhere else,
right?
To that vendor's website or off to some place. And independent pharmacists are independent for a reason. Their brand is important to them. And we find that these websites don't really reflect that. They really reflect the brands often of all of the different vendors that they use, mm-hmm. and create this sort of complex. So that was another key thing that we wanted to do, was to really focus on how can we have it so that when your customer comes to your website, with all the interactions they do on the website, they're interacting on your website with your brand and having a cohesive experience with your brand.
Wow. Okay. Man, that was a lot to unpack. So let me one thing, you said a few things that's going to ring like music to people's ears is like, I don't have to rekey.
Yeah.
like for what you said. But the other thing I wanted to weave in was like just how similar to the pharmacy environments it sounds like already, that that what you're working in now and then what we're doing with the red cell base in the US. But there's already, like, you guys have already built out on your platform ways to forms, like to build out forms and basically fields for the patient to fill out if they want to schedule something, right? If they want to schedule if you're really leaning into appointment-based model with vaccinations or something like that, boom, you guys already kind of solved that. And kind of that, I imagine that was, did the pandemic push you a little harder into that space? Because I know it pushed us. And just interesting, just to talk business a little bit from another one here. Can y'all explain a little bit or tell us a little bit of that journey?
The pandemic was crazy for us. Yeah. Like, not only did we find ourselves suddenly working from home.
Oh yeah.
But business went mad. Just went crazy. So we were we onboarded so many pharmacies so fast. It was, I don't know if you've got any reflections of that time. I mean, I think everybody has these kind of really conflicting memories of
that
time, I know. Because it was awful, but it was also kind of amazing.
I remember Jeff saying, and it was such a good way of explaining it to me, was basically calling it, yes, it was awful, it's terrible, but it's also the moment we kind of got bit in a way by a radioactive spider, right? You're going to change fast. There's going to be a new way of doing some stuff, and it totally turned out that I know one metric we were always looking at was how late people were staying up entering prescriptions. That was like literally one of the North Stars for us, was like, how do we get people home from 1 a.m. back to 11, and then from 11 back for, you know, earlier than that. So, cause it was just one of those, that was kind of like the one thing I would reflect on is, of course, everybody remembers that time period, but man, it's what really made us build things into Pioneer. We went down the route of a form builder and things like that, but then realized so many off the shelf kind of solutions existed that folks were already leaning into, or were probably more fleshed out. So we were like, okay, never mind. Let's skip that. Let's get out of that and move into other ways in the pharmacy, especially with order processing, that we could try to like speed those things up. That's the one thing I think I would like really.
I think one thing that I remember was we just wanted to be part of the solution. Mm-hmm. We wanted to just help. Like, you know, there's the health professionals, the pharmacists were the health professionals. My wife's actually a clinical psychologist, so she was health professional and working in hospitals, and so we were just contacting the customers and said, look, just what can we do to help? Like, and if what we can do to help is nothing, then if you want it just to kind of stay out of the way, then we'll stay out of the way. But then if there's something we can do to help, you let us know. So and of course there were things that they wanted. So we were just there to kind of serve, really, is my memory of it.
Yeah, one of the things we did, we collaborated with the Pharmacy Guild because in the platform we have a capability to distribute content across multiple websites and kind of publish that content automatically to multiple websites. So we collaborated with the Pharmacy Guild on a kind of on a one pager about COVID-19 and what to do. And this is like in the very early days of the pandemic, right? So produced this information article and was able to push it out with a feature on the homepage, kind of linking to that information on each from each of the pharmacy websites. So that was one thing. And then pharmacies are saying to us, hey, we need a way to collect payment remotely, because of course our customers can't come in, or to offer curbside pickup for these orders, which is going to streamline things at the door because they had queues of people waiting for things. So I remember, Shane, you're the team building out kind of our manual order capability as part of that process in response to that as well. So a pharmacy could create an order, send a URL to their customer, the customer clicks on it, drops them into the pre-populated cart, away they go. So it was just those sorts of things that we were able to do responsibly to the...
I remember the manual order one was because there were pharmacists. The pharmacists were saying, I just can't deal with inventory levels right now. I'm just needing to respond to the phone calls that are coming in, and I just need to grab stuff, put it together, and then send that straight to them. And I just want a way that I can just write in an online order, in miscellaneous online order, and send them for a link for payment remotely. So we created a way for them to be able to kind of work in a more free-form way. And I just said that I remember this sort of having this vision, this sort of these pharmacists just in their pharmacies, just with boxes all around them.
Yeah.
Honestly,
some of the pharmacies I saw, it was more refrigerators everywhere. Like, I don't think anybody, right. like it was just getting the right fridge that could get down to the right temps. I've never seen a weird shortage and purchases like that ever. So I thought that was super interesting. There was all this like cold storage now that pharmacies were kind of trying to load up on as they had to. That's interesting. So, I'll loop it back to why we're all here. I guess I'll bring it back. So with all those really cool capabilities you guys built, I know we've looked at, websites. Are we going to really lean in? Are we going to really lean out, of that space altogether? And that's why Storby's here. We found a really good partner that's really innovative, checking all the check boxes, from a perspective of something we want to do. And we feel like we're not going to specialize in that per se, but we could really partner with somebody like Storby to bring that to our base. We saw what they brought into the Australian and New Zealand market for that. And so I'll throw to you, Holly, a little bit. Like, let's kind of talk. All right. What Storby, we kind of got the journey of what's made Storby. Let's talk a little bit of like, hey, look, what can a pharmacy expect a little bit out of this relationship?
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more, but with Shane and Samantha and then the entire team at Storby, from what I've seen and what we've been talking about, you guys have definitely quick to respond to our community pharmacies and very much care. You guys have a team that seems to really invest time and a lot of resources into making sure that the community pharmacy space is working well, and you're really providing that service to them. One of the things I really liked about Storby when we started working with them is not only the whole aspect of how do you onboard and how do you really get involved, but you guys also have a customer success team. Maybe talk a little bit about that and what you guys do for the customers even after you've put a website in place. What do you guys do there?
Yeah, one of the kind of key parts, there's always a lot of excitement and enthusiasm when a website project is kicking off with a pharmacy and then launch day comes along, and over time, people start to get quite busy as they go back to the day job once that project is complete. So really to set the project up for success, post that launch period, we have a kind of a one-on-one success planning session between a customer success specialist at Storby and the pharmacy. And that really sets out some roles and responsibilities for, you know, who is going to pay attention to the emails that come in from Storby about new features that are available and be able to take advantage of those. But equally, what are some of the things that you can do in your pharmacy to really get the most out of the website? And the pharmacies that tell their customers about it, that share it on social media, that really try and integrate that website experience as part of their pharmacy customer experience are the ones that do the best. So, you know, kind of taking that knowledge, we sort of package that up and run customer success planning sessions, sets out a bit of an action plan with some ideas about what their pharmacy could do. And then we have like a 3-month and 6-month check-in to really kind of relook at that plan and go, hey, like, how is it going against what we talked about you doing and that kind of thing? Is there anything else that we can help you with? So that's a really key part of our service that we deliver as part of the kind of onboarding and getting started with Storby too.
It's not a set it and forget it type.
It sounds a little more actively managed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shane, you were going to say something.
One of the things I want to mention is that myself and Jess, our customer success manager, will be at Catalyst Connect. So. Yeah. So come and meet us there, and come and meet Jess. Our.
Make sure you bring the pineapple lumps. I've had
the pineapple lumps.
For pineapple lumps.
What did I see? I flicked you through a picture the other day of what are the pineapple lump? What were they?
For the Easter? Pineapple. Were they for Easter?
The Easter, yeah. Pineapple lump Easter eggs.
Yeah,
that's right. I the first time I went over, I took lots of chocolate, and this has gone down pretty well. And yeah. And then I think Jamie went over, and she took lots of chocolate. So
she did.
You can, there'll be chocolate next time too. Don't worry.
They've
worry.
Learned.
The day that we turn up without chocolate, we'll be sent right back to New Zealand.
They've learned.
You guys aren't allowed back here.
Yeah. You probably can't show up without
one
chocolate.
One whole extra suitcase just full of chocolate.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny. That goes back to, Sam, what you were going to say. Like, I was trying to make this time even useful for the folks listening or watching. Tips, tricks, I know you just talked about a little bit of like, hey, look, it's successful as long as you're trying to actively like manage a plan a little bit. I think I'm probably not saying that exactly right, but like, what are some of the things you see, either mistake or the right thing, when it comes to making sure like you're using this tool, I'm going to call the website, really is just look at it as another tool to either communicate or acquire new customers. Like, what are some of the things you see, good or bad, that you, that's factors of success or failure?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the key things to the success is having like somebody in the pharmacy that has ownership of the website and, yeah, as I said, pays attention to the emails that are coming from Storby and those opportunities to kind of take advantage of new feature activations and that sort of thing. It really, like pharmacy to pharmacy, their goals are different as well about what it is that they want to achieve from their website. So first and foremost, I think it's understanding that and then aligning that action plan with those goals. So, you know, some pharmacies we speak to, they're like, I'm really embarrassed about my website and I don't want to send people to it because it looks awful. So please set me up with a beautiful website so I can be really proud of it, that I can search my pharmacy name in Google and it will come up within my community. I can click through to my website and be really proud of how my business is showcased online. And so for them, being able to do that, like that is success initially. And for them, that might be their initial goal, sort of that first stepping stone into online and having something that they're really proud of. But one of the great things about Storby is that first stepping stone is just is the first step. They can then build on that without needing to switch platforms, without needing to re-platform and then move into things over time, such as e-commerce, appointments online, and integrating a lot of that other key stuff. So I think having a digital champion within the pharmacy, and that's part of our customer success planning session, is really key, because then you've got somebody that's kind of paying attention to what's happening on the website. We've got other customers who are like, we want to make e-commerce and selling products online a really significant part of our business.
Okay.
And we've got some pharmacies that do exceptionally well in that area. And they're doing well in that area because they have some dedicated focus on it. And the things that we see in the e-commerce success space is, one, taking advantage of some of the other integrations that Storeby has, such as into Google Merchant Center to run Google Shopping campaigns, and working with a marketing partner to do advertising campaigns for those types of products. Those pharmacies that are doing really well in that area tend to find or jump on trends for particular products as well. I think at one point there was a whole bunch of sales of this particular eyelash serum going through the website. Okay. So there was just so many units of this product being sold through the platform because it was trending at that time. So those ones that really want to make e-commerce a significant part of their business need sort of that dedication and focus. And then
remember the concrete pills?
Oh, that's right.
What is this?
They were just sugar pills or something. I don't know, some sort of placebo pills. And one pharmacy managed to branded them concrete pills and sold them online and did a huge amount of orders of these concrete pills, just choke pills that people would buy their partners went viral. People would buy them from this pharmacy, would buy their spouse some concrete pills. I'm going to buy you some concrete pills, and they'd get them. So I remember that.
This is like a novelty, like a funny thing.
Yeah, the ingenuity. Yeah. Like, this is great. This is ingenuity at its finest.
Good April Fool's Day thing.
It was so good. I remember, I think you sent a photo or put a photo up on Facebook, and it was just him with all of these parcels, like packaged, ready to go of these concrete pills. It was absolutely insane. I forgot about that, Shay. that was hilarious when that happened. So I think, I've talked about sort of the two ends of the spectrum there, like the pharmacies that are really happy to have something that represents their business well online, and the ones that have, really significant goals around selling a lot via e-commerce. And then for a lot of pharmacies, sort of that in the middle is kind of where they sit, where they're like, hey, I want to offer e-commerce and curbside pickup as an option for my customers, so that when my customers are in that mode, that I am an option for them. They're not forced to go and use another provider because I don't provide that facility to them. So, pharmacies that sort of sit in that area are not doing an enormous amount of online sales, but they are able to offer that option to their community when their community wants to choose that. So there's kind of those different levels depending on what the pharmacy's goal is.
Yeah, one thing we absolutely want to emphasize is that absolutely legitimate to not offer e-commerce as a community pharmacy. But what we want is there's so much a website can offer without e-commerce. But the good thing is that you work with Storeby, then all of the interactions that your customers have, non-e-commerce interactions, like things like filling in forms, et cetera, we're working with Pioneer Rx so that those will come into your workflows and then come in docs. That's going to be a great experience and a great stepping stone. But as Sam said, the great thing is that at some point in the future, say you go, okay, actually, a few customers are asking me about curbside pickup. Okay, well, maybe I might like to do that. That's a sort of an easy addition extension onto the Storeby site and if you choose to do that. And then if you want to take that next step to e-commerce, then that's absolutely there for you as well. But don't feel like if you're feeling daunted, the best thing to do is to get started with something similar. Don't feel like you kind of have to do the whole thing at once. Just get started with a really great looking website. One thing Sam hasn't mentioned is just the importance of the website working really well on lots of different devices. And that's something that Storeby does really, really well. Like more than half of all visits to Storeby websites and pharmacy are on mobile devices. And in fact, about 70% of visits to checkout systems are on mobile devices. So funnily enough, when people are actually thinking to buy, they're usually on their mobile device
on their
nowadays.
Phone, then. Yeah, makes sense.
Crazy. Yeah, so... And the thing about a mobile device is it used to be you had like a mobile phone and then you had a desktop and there was sort of nothing. But now there are even mobile phones are all different shapes and sizes. You can have them portrait, you can have them landscape. You've got iPads and other types of tablets that can again be portrait, they can be landscape, and they're all different shapes and sizes. Your website needs to work, needs to automatically reshape itself to whatever way that person's looking at your website at any particular point in time. Absolutely super important, and Storby just will tick that box for you straight away.
So funny how we take that for granted now. Like, I get mad
when the it doesn't look good. Yes.
I get like irrationally angry if a website isn't optimized to be on any whatever device I feel like using at that moment in time.
I agree. No, I 100% agree with you.
So I just so funny, like 10, 12 years ago, 15, it wasn't that way, really. Really wasn't. But like now I realize how spoiled of a brat I could be about buying anything online.
Yeah. And being on the side of like building a platform to make that happen, it's not easy.
That's why you guys do it well.
Shane's like, trust me, I've heard you, not you specifically, maybe, but I've heard you speak to me before. Yes. Yeah.
Last thing you want to do when we is to go and go to a web design company and pay to have them build a completely custom user interface for you that they've built just for you, and then you have to pay for them to make that work on every single device, test it across every single device. That is a money pit. Just something to think about is working with an organization like Storby that's taken care of for you. And if there's an incompatibility found, we'll sort that out. We'll fix that.
Yeah.
That's not your problem. That's our problem.
Yeah. Trust me. A patient will let you know.
Yeah.
Either way. Okay, cool. Well, so I know we got Connect coming. This will be released before that. All that good stuff, which is good. If you're not registered, get registered. We'll take you all the way to the last minute. if there's room, actually, we're getting full, folks. But, let's talk a little bit about like what's kind of coming with specifically Pioneer and Storby. So I've got the product person here for RedCell for that reason specifically.
Love it.
So
we've talked a lot about e-commerce, which is coming, hopefully, I'm going to tease this, we think around Connect. So I'm going to put that out there. We're going to hold ourselves to the fire there. So the e-commerce piece should be ready around Connect, which is very, very exciting. And then we also have the integration with incoming documents and forms that Shane has been talking about. And then we're also doing an RX Local integration with Storby. So those are all things that we are hoping to have out in the next few months. E-commerce probably will be the first one, followed closely by RX Local as well. And RX Local, that piece is basically the sign-on to refill a prescription.
Right. So like a single sign-on.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. We're working through all that right now. But that will basically be within your website. So.
Yeah. And mentioning the single sign-on, I'm pretty excited about the single sign-on. Because if your customers are on RX Local and your customers use an RX Local login, at some point they will be able to log into their Storby website with that same login that they used to log into RX Local. I'm very excited about that because that means that we know their identity. So it means that when they fill in a form and that ends up in Pioneer RX, we'll be able to reliably tell you who it was that filled in that form. If you're doing e-commerce and they do an e-commerce order, if they've logged in with their RX Local login, we'll be able to know who it was that made that purchase. And that also comes out to pharmacists themselves. You'll be able to log into your Storby website with your own RedCell login. So I think that's going to be one thing we haven't mentioned about the e-commerce is all the additional information that's required to have a website, a product on your website beyond
yes.
the
oh. yes yeah
yeah explain
this is, yeah this is good
yeah so that's a super key thing that we're working on is to have imagery descriptions of the common pharmacy products so that and linking that up automatically with the inventory levels and pricing that are in Pioneer RX, so that when you choose a product in Pioneer RX for the products that we have, your inventory level, your pricing, will flow from Anstay Live. So if you update those, they'll automatically reflect themselves on the site, but it'll be augmented automatically for the products that we have and with imagery descriptions and magically appear on the site without you having to fill that information in, which is super important. That's one of the big things that we've done here in this
part. All the work, the work is done for them.
It's been a game changer.
Yeah. That with the images too.
Like yeah.
You don't have to go snap a poorly lit photo with a...
It's already there.
Yeah,
that's super important. Yeah, when we first started, you know what Sam was saying, we started first here in New Zealand with pharmacies and we just discovered, okay, well, we've got to solve this particular problem. It's one of the first we have to solve. We can't have... Well, because we also ended up really super expanding the number of pharmacies in New Zealand that were doing e-commerce. All that the suppliers started contacting us. I can't deal with this. I've got too many pharmacies trying to contact me, trying to get me to send them the imagery.
We learned that problem the hard way too, didn't we? I think our first website solution we went out with had the top 50 selling pharmacy OTC products as a static photograph and description on those websites. And it was only probably a couple of months before the pharmacies were contacting us and being like, hey, like this manufacturer is rebranded, need a new pack shot. Like, do we contact them or do you? And then equally, they were contacting the suppliers. And so it was kind of this thing that we were just like, this problem needs to be solved. Let's automate it.
And it was actually one of the crazy things. We found ourselves, you know, we're a technology company, but we found ourselves completely immersed in the whole
supply chain thing.
Yeah. We were in there sort of negotiating with the whole supply chain, trying to get everybody together on this thing, you know, and having, you know, it was pretty cool.
That's cool. That's what we've got to look forward to. Connect, post connect. Don't hold us to the fire too hard on that, but we're getting there. We're on the journey.
We're getting there.
I think it's going to be a really cool solution. So let's do a couple of things that I wanted to bring up. A couple of things that's kind of fun. Also, we're talking to a film accredited actor.
Yes.
On the call as well, and also you've got real credits, right?
There's a site for him.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. And then also, I think the third sexiest bald man in.
Yeah.
I think it's what I researched in New Zealand.
I knew that story would come up.
So it's kind of like, we're going to say it. Let's talk through it. So let's give us some context around that, Shane.
It's funny because initially I was kind of known for my quite spectacular blonde locks that I had when I was young.
Me too.
And now I'm kind of known as the bald guy. And for about 15 years, I've done these ads here in on New Zealand television for the Mitsubishi Electric brand. I advertise heat pumps and fridges and et cetera. And that particular thing, one morning I got a message to turn on the radio because there was a vote going on for the sexiest bald guy in New Zealand. And apparently I was sort of quite late in the piece. Someone called up and said, what about that bald guy that does those Mitsubishi Electric ads on television? And I don't know, I guess it was maybe it was the joke vote. We'll put it down to that. But suddenly I was making my way up the ranks and in the end, the only two people that beat me were this guy, Monty Beetham, who is he's a rugby league player and a boxer. And he's got like, I don't know, just a few more abs than
You gotta go with that dude, right? Like, my God.
He was number one, and that's absolutely fair enough. And then there was number two, and he used to work on the radio station. So I actually think that's a little home cooking there.
Right.
Actually, he advertised sausages on television. I've always been a little bit, you know, a little bit miffed about that. I feel that wasn't really very fair. But anyway, yes, I ended up being voted the third sexiest bald guy in New Zealand.
Well, it shows.
I think that's something to be proud of.
It shows. Yes. It clearly, everyone, when they watch this on YouTube, they'll get it.
Yeah.
They'll get it.
They come to connect, they can come meet him.
Organized a trophy for him, so he has a trophy on his desk.
Oh, please tell me you've got a real trophy. That's great.
I actually had a marketing person call me and go, This is too. You have to call. We have to get you an interview on the radio station. We can't, you know, opportunities.
Yeah,
like
we
this
can't
don't
let this
come
go
very often.
Right.
So yeah. I ended up doing this interview on the radio station. It was pretty ridiculous.
Good. That's good. Well, bring the trophy to Connect. So people can take photos with it.
Yeah.
And
get autographs.
It's like when the World Series right. or like the Super Bowl, like it makes it, the Stanley Cup makes its rounds.
Right, everybody
wants a picture with it. It's going to be the same thing.
That'll be good. I like it.
I thought I should mention that. Probably the only, I think Roman Empire, Reign of Blood is on Netflix. That's probably the only thing that I was in a few years ago.
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
I was Pertinax.
You were
Pertinax, the emperor. And I got to do a slow motion walk through a battlefield. So I think that's all actors want to do that.
I'll take it. So, that's a W all day. Yeah. All right.
We need to look this up now.
That's good. That's good. Z's got real credits, man. All right.
Yeah.
Brandon's got some films later on. He does some filming and on his off time, he may throw something at your agent.
Absolutely. Totally. Let's make a short film.
From there. Okay. And then we'll move to, all right, last segment. I don't let anybody get out without this, both for Sam, this is for all of us and you, Holly. Sam, you go first. So it's called Prescribables. What are you reading, watching, listening to, or doing right now? You think the people who listen or watch this would be into?
I see. So probably the my latest read when I have time
right.
is a book that I actually I purchased recently, which I hadn't done for a long time. But it's by Samantha Wills is the author, and it's called Of Gold and Dust. So Samantha is a creative entrepreneur and started this beautiful bohemian jewelry company.
Okay.
And this story just is kind of a brutally honest memoir of her experience growing this amazing jewelry brand. Like Shane and I have often said, you know, in a day in a business like Storby, you can have something that doesn't really go to plan, but then equally have something really amazing happen all in the same day. Uh-huh. And I really liked that her story kind of goes through that and looks at sort of the personal impact on her life as well. So of Gold and Dust.
Of Gold and Dust, you heard everyone. Shane, what's yours?
Me? Well, I listen to podcasts, really. I'm always too tired to read at night, except when I go camping. It's
asleep.
It during summertime, and then I do read a bit. But I'll be listening to a podcast, and then I'll just sort of fall asleep, and then wake up, and fall asleep, and wake up, and sort of miss various bits. But I usually listen to pretty trashy fiction. But actually, fortunately, I didn't recently, so I can sound a lot more sophisticated. Because my most recent thing I listened to was called the God Equation. I don't know how. Is it Michio Kaku or Michio, which is about quantum mechanics? Which I actually really, really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed it. It's like it's kind of part. I don't promise I understood everything, but it's kind of part physics, part maths, and sort of part sort of philosophy. It's really He manages to make quantum mechanics sort of quite accessible, and it's quite a fascinating.
One more time. What was it called again? What was the book?
It was called The God Equation.
The God Equation.
By Michio Kaku. Michio Kaku? I'm not sure who said it.
All right. Holly, your turn.
So I think I'm going to throw everybody a curveball. So I have actually recently gotten into, and I feel like I'm the last person to ever do this, Shameless.
Oh, yeah.
My husband is really...
HBO series, right?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
That's super good.
My husband's really into it, but we really got into The Bear with Jeremy Allen White, and he's like, you need to watch Shameless. And so have you seen The Bear yet?
I have not.
Is The Bear in New Zealand? Oh,
it is. I haven't seen it.
You need to see it.
I think it is. Right.
Yes. So that's the weird connection there was.
That's how you got there?
Yeah. Yeah. So now I'm really into Shameless right now. I think we're on like season 6. It's a great show. Cool. Great show. Highly recommend it.
Dig it. Yeah. I think I have one for sure. Maybe a second. The first one is right now, fun wise, I'm watching Three Body Problem. It kind of goes into your God Equation piece, which is about, it sounds like a murder mystery, kind of is, kind of isn't, but it's more about like that is a physics equation that someone has to kind of try to solve, and it's impossible to solve. But it's about three planets, three bodies, right? Brandon is over here giving me the thumbs up. He's like, yes. I'll say this, Brandon, if you haven't got all the way through it, starts out strong, really strong. I didn't love how it ended, but first season. Now you can love or hate this, but the same guys who created or at least produced Game of Thrones are the people creating that show as well. So anyway, I think it was an epic blunder in how that one ended, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see about this one. And then I listened to the podcast I've been listening to is Acquired. I don't know if y'all have ever, it's a great, great, great business podcast. It's called Acquired. It's about these two guys who've done a bunch of venture back dudes. They take a whole company, like they just did NVIDIA, they just did Amazon Web Services or something, and how like the journey of how it got started, the model, the playbook they ran. For the most part, super cool, super great podcast. So that's another one from a work perspective, yeah. Everyone. It's called Acquired. Those are 3-hour podcasts, super long form stuff. So about business. So you might fall asleep and you might have to catch up after you fall asleep, but good podcast. That's mine.
You guys have a long plane ride soon from New Zealand. So that feels like a really good one. Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, Sam, Shane, thank you both for giving us your time. Really do appreciate it. Sorry we went a little long, but thank you guys for doing a lot of good stuff. And again, appreciate your time. We'll see you at Connect. I get to see you both, or at least, sorry, you, Shane, in about Sam a month.
Would I would have there. Loved to.
It's,
have
it's a spiritual. It's your the spiritual home, really, isn't it? Nashville.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'll have my boots on.
Yeah, that's why I got myself some beautiful boots when I came over last time. So I wasn't going to get away with leaving the husband at home with the twins this time around.
Well, this year I'm after a hat. So if you know a good hat place, let me know. We'll go from there. But thank you both. And we'll see you in about a month.